here in John chapter 5, I'll start reading here in verse 2. It says, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath day." I want to skip down a little bit further here in verse 14. Jesus found this man. There was some conversation between this man and the Jews, who were not happy that he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And then in verse 14, Jesus says to him, "Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.'" And then I'm going to skip down here to verse 17. "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father has been working until now, and I have been working.'" And so this is a real interesting story, because here by this pool of Bethesda was something that was unusual, because this angel, we don't know exactly how it worked, but it would come down at different times and would trouble the water or stir up the water, and then the first person who could get in it was healed. Now, we don't know if this angel came down every hour or every 2 years. Friday night, I was having a little Bible study at my house, and we were talking about this passage, and one of the guys that were at the Bible study, he says, "Oh, why didn't that man just leave his foot in the water?" And maybe he could have if it was happening every hour, but if it was every year or so, that's a long time to leave your foot in the water and not go to bed. But Jesus asked this man, he said, "Do you want to be well?" And this is a question you could even ask people today. You know, sometimes people get used to being in a certain situation, and it's sad when a person's in a situation where they're not at their full capacity. I'm really thankful God's taking care of me, but I want to be sympathetic and empathetic to anybody who is at less capacity. And here Jesus said to this man, "Do you want to be well?" And that's something we can all check up on ourselves. Do we want to be everything that God has created us to be? And I believe God is more than willing to bless people, to save people, and to heal people. One of my favorite passages in Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all his benefits." And then I almost have to turn to it here, but and then it says, "Who healeth all your diseases." That's one of the benefits. "Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." And, you know, I sometimes use the comparison that if you had an insurance salesman come to your house and said, "For only $1,000 a year, I will sell you five benefits." And here we have this promise in the Bible. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." And you might say, "Well, why is not everybody walking in this?" And I would say, and hopefully I'll touch on it a little bit today, we have to do our part. We have to, as the Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Just like a person to be saved, to have eternal life, they have to call upon the Lord. Even though Jesus has saved us, we still have our part to do. And I don't want to oversimplify it, and I don't want to overcomplicate how people get healed, but I want to say it's available. And if you want to be healed and you believe God can heal you, I want to encourage you to keep on pressing in. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Bible says he's a rewarder of those that will diligently seek him. And here, Jesus asked this man, do you want to be well? And the man, he had an interesting answer. He didn't quite say outright, yes, I want to be well. But he sort of said that. He said, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. And when I'm going myself to get into the pool, somebody's already there before me. I'll read it again. The sick man answered, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. In verse 8, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And it's interesting, you can read the story on your own later. This man did not know it was Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who said this to him. But there was so much power in what Jesus said when he said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. We read in the next verse, and immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked, and that day was a Sabbath. And so there was power in what Jesus said. And I want to say, as a little carry-on to that, there's power in the Word of God. You know, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's power in the Word of God. And Jesus said in another place, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And then in Hebrews it says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And there is power in God's Word. And so if I can share something today, is that each of us can take God's Word and each of us can use it. Each of us can read His Word. Each of us can speak His Word. Each of us can claim His promises. And I want to encourage you just to every day take some time. I work at home, so I have a little bit of freedom in my schedule. But whether I get up at 5 in the morning or sleep in until 7, whatever, I always like to take the first half hour, an hour, and spend some time in God's Word. And it's a great way to start the day. And God will bless us as we give ourselves and draw near to God. Last time I was here, I think I spoke about meditating in His Word from Psalm 1. And we can hear His Word. And so getting back to the story, Jesus said to this man, rise, take up your bed and walk. And that was enough for this man to be healed. And that man, he could have just sat there or laid there and said, I've been sick 38 years and you're telling me to get up. But that's not what he did. He didn't just lay there. When Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk, he got up. And when he started to take some action, he was healed. And I want to encourage every one of you, however we can do it, take some action. Put some faith, put some action to your faith. And I want to commend you, just you being here in this service is taking some action. I appreciate that very much, that you came here today. And that's even a very simple step. Just get up out of bed and come to church and hear the Word of God. I want to commend every one of you for that. And So we can think of another story that's related from the Bible in the book of Acts, where a man was healed. And that was when Peter and John went into the temple and there was a man begging. He was wanting some money. And Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I will give you. And he said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took the man by the hand and lifted him up. And when he started to lift him up, the man was healed. And the man was healed so dramatically that this man who couldn't walk on his own before, he was leaping and praising God. And they went into the temple and a crowd came running together. And Peter preached a sermon to him. And one part of that sermon, he said, this man was not healed by our own power or our own holiness. This man was healed by the name of Jesus. and faith in his name. And so then I could ask the question, it's almost a rhetorical question, does the name of Jesus have the same power today as it did back then?
Yes.
And hopefully everybody would say, yes, yes, it does have the same power. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And the wonderful thing is, I mentioned each of us can speak the Word of God over our own life, and every Christian has the right and the privilege to use the name of Jesus in prayer. We can pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus and bring our requests. I sometimes use a little example is, you know, if you write a check, that if you have a bank account or a checking account, and you write a check, if you don't sign that check, that you can put the date on there, you can put who it's to, the amount, but if they take it to the bank and there's no signature, they're going to say, what is going on here? We're not cashing this check. There's no signature. But if you've got the signature on it, then they'll cash it. And I like to say the same way. When we pray, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. And we can rely on his promises that God answers prayer, and we pray in the name of Jesus, and we have that right. And so Jesus said to this man, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man was healed immediately. And I want to just share a couple things further here from this story. And down in verse 14, it says, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And I want to encourage us in this, that this is a good thing when Jesus says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Because, you know, some people have the mistaken impression, and sometimes even it's taught from the pulpit, that we can't help but sin all the time, and we're always sinning and sinning and sinning, and it's only the grace of God that is getting us anywhere, that we're saved, but we're always still sinning and sinning. I don't see that here. Because Jesus expected this man when he said to him, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He was expecting that of that man. Don't go and sin anymore. And so I'm not saying we're never going to sin. I mean, it says in 1 John, you know, if we do sin, it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But we don't have to plan on sinning. And as Christians, there is victory in Jesus. I sometimes like to say there's grace. We sang that song, Amazing Grace. There's grace for forgiveness, to forgive us of our sins, but there's also grace to give us the power that we don't have to sin. And we can call on God and ask him, God, I'm asking you to give me help not to sin. There's a great verse in the little one chapter book before Revelation. Revelation's the last book in the Bible. And then we have the book of Jude, a one-chapter book. And in that book, there's a little verse that I like to pray and say. It says, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. And we can claim that verse. God, I thank you that you keep me from falling into sin. I thank you that you keep me from falling into temptation. I thank you that you keep me from falling into getting involved with wrong people. I thank you that you're keeping me from falling. And each of us can claim that promise in our lives. And so here Jesus said to this man, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. In the book of Hebrews it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So I want to encourage you and me to say yes to God, and also no to the wrong things. And you know, when God asks us not to sin, it's not because he's wanting to make life difficult for us. He's doing it for our own good. And you know, as we follow God, and hopefully none of you are tempted with sin to begin with, but you know, as we follow God, there's blessing. You know, and going the wrong way, it may be a little bit of pleasure for a short season, but in the long run, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So we want to say yes to God. And so this Jesus said to this man, sin no more. And so we want to take that even for ourselves. We want to say, God, help me to live for you today and all the days of my life, and to say no to wrong things and yes to you. And then I want to just share one more place here in John chapter 5, verse 17. But Jesus answered them. The Jews were giving him a hard time because he had healed this man on a Sabbath day, because Jesus said to that man, pick up your bed and walk. And they didn't like seeing this man who had been healed carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. And it's interesting. Actually, this morning I was doing a little looking up of Bible verses. And several places in the Gospels, Jesus had healed people on the Sabbath day. And then when they were not happy, he said, well, if you had a sheep fall into a pit, wouldn't you pick that sheep out of the hole, the pit, on the Sabbath day? I mean, if you care about a sheep in a pit, how much more does God care about people? And so here it says, Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. And you can, maybe people have different understandings of what this verse means. And some people would just narrow it down that God is working all the time, and Jesus was working all the time too, including on the Sabbath, to help people. But further than that, I think that when it says, my Father has been working until now, it's talking about how much God loves people, that he is working behind the scenes to get people to come to him. And I just want to bring in one short story from the Old Testament, and that is the story about Jonah and Nineveh. Because Nineveh was this big city back then, and there were wicked people, and they were doing bad things. But God didn't just say, I'm going to kill those people or wipe them out. He said, I'm going to send Jonah to preach those people. God loved that city so much that he said, I'm going to send Jonah. And you may know the story. At first, Jonah did not want to go. But finally, when he did go, the people repented. And to me, it's a great story about how much God loves people back then, and he loves people now. And he has always loved people, but people have to turn to receive Jesus Christ. And I want to mention that well-known verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so God loves people, and he loves them so much that he made a way for every person to be saved. How? Through receiving Jesus Christ, through believing on Jesus Christ. You know, I sometimes get into conversation with people who are not Christians, and I sort of ask them another rhetorical question. I say, if there was any other way for people to be saved, why would he have sent his son? I mean, why would you let your son be killed? But because there was no other way, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live here and as a son of man. And then they didn't believe he was the Son of God. And then he was crucified. But when he was crucified, he paid with his own blood for our sins. And then 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And now it says in the Bible, how to be saved. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I sometimes say to people, being right with God is only a prayer away. Anyone who can think about it and can hear about it, the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that, you can do that today. I want to have a short prayer, and then we're going to sing a few more songs. And at the end, if anyone has a prayer request, we would be glad to pray with you. And if you haven't asked Jesus into your life, we would be glad to pray with you too about that. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for everyone here who's made the effort to come here to this church service. And will you pray your blessings upon them? Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you strengthen them in every area of their life, in their spirit, their soul, and their body. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you give them strength strength this week in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we thank you, Lord, that we can do that in this short church service we have here today. And we pray your peace, the peace of God that passes understanding upon each person here. We thank you, Lord, that they can rest in you. And Lord, we pray for their loved ones, for their wives, for their spouses, for their families, Lord, that your blessing and your peace would be upon them. We thank you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.